The Dub D Dub Review podcast is proud to have two great sponsors, the Magic for Less Travel Agency and the Theme Park Brothers. The Magic for Less is an authorized Disney vacation planner. Let the agents for the Magic for Less, including our very own Laura Fitzpatrick, help take care of the important details like dining reservations, fast pass planning, and discount checking to ensure that your next Disney vacation will create memories to last a lifetime. Plus, their services are completely free. You pay nothing and can benefit from their years of knowledge and experience. More information can be found on themagicforless.com. We've also partnered up with the Theme Park Brothers. Michael, Jordan, Cameron, and Christina Black have some of the nicest quality Orlando attraction videos on YouTube. Subscribe and check out their latest videos, which are sure to keep you entertained, as well as keep you informed of all the latest changes to the Walt Disney World Resort. Search for the Theme Park Brothers on Facebook and YouTube, and at Theme Park Boys on Twitter. Hello, and welcome to the Dub D Dub Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm flying solo tonight. Well, that's not really true. I've got a good friend to join me. And without any more delay, I want to introduce you to Tamara Spidell. How you doing, Tamara?
I'm great, Chris. How are you?
Cool. I'm really good. Thank you for joining me. I appreciate you spending some time with me, especially on a Saturday night.
No problem. I know I'm not going to sleep tonight anyway, so I couldn't think of a better way to spend my sleepless night.
Well, the sleep part's because you were excited to be on the show, right?
Yes, we'll go with that. Sure.
What else would it be from?
Oh, we're just taking a little trip. We're flying out to, you know, Disney World tomorrow. Sorry.
Yeah, okay. And I'm not, but okay, give me all the details.
So we're having an all-girls trip. It's a three-generations trip with my mom, my sister, my daughter, and myself. And we'll be there for about 6 days, and we'll do Mickey's Not So Scary. We'll meet up with some other friends that we know through some other podcasts and social media, and just going to have a really fun girls week.
That sounds fabulous. Where are you staying?
We're staying at Pop Century, which is a first. We've never stayed there before.
Okay, cool. Good for you. So we got a girls' weekend, and it's a first. You've never stayed at Pop Century, huh?
No.
Where is your favorite resort? If you had to go and you didn't have to worry about anything, where would be your resort of choice?
Oh, the Contemporary.
Oh, really?
Yep. The monorail right there, just right there in the main tower.
Are you a multiple-time stayer at the Contemporary, or just
no, once? I've never stayed there.
Oh, that would be, okay, that would be just your bucket list type place.
Yes.
Okay, pretty cool. So, you've listened to the show, I know, before, and so you're probably aware I like to hit people up with a little trivia before we start. Are you ready for it?
Sure.
Kind of, right? Okay.
Kind of.
All right, so Animal Kingdom's Expedition Everest and the studio's Tower of Terror stand at 199 feet tall. There's a reason for this. Why do they not stand any higher than 199 feet tall?
Oh, I'm so glad that you started with a softball. I got this one. That is because if they were at 200 feet or higher, they would have to have a flashing light at the top because of federal aviation rules, I think.
Come on. How would you possibly get that answer out right off the bat?
I'm pretty sure we heard it like on one of the Disney transportation buses. We had this awesome bus driver one time who was just throwing out trivia and quizzing us between the hotel and the parks. And I'm pretty sure that was one of them.
Man, I'm going to have to step up my trivia game. I can't believe you got it right off the bat. So, all right. So here's number two then. Okay.
Okay.
So you're going to be at the parks and I'm sure you're going to take photographs. So, what percentage of all amateur photographs in the United States were taken inside a Disney park?
Okay, so I have to admit that I think I know this one too, because I'm kind of a nerd about Disney, and I actually just got the Disney by the Numbers book, which is amazing, and I highly recommend it if you're a Disney geek and a trivia geek. And I'm pretty sure this was in there. I think it's 4%.
I'm exasperated. You got, yes. You're 2 for 2. This is not good.
Yay!
I'm never going to hear the end of it from Pete and Laura about this one. So, yes, 4%. It would seem to be a low number, but think of all the amateur photographs that are posted to any kind of photo sharing site. 4% of every photograph is taken inside of a Disney park.
That's crazy.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That's like stupefying. So, all right, I'm going to throw another one at you, okay? And this one you're probably not going to guess. All right, so since 1971... the Walt Disney World monorail trains have logged enough miles to make how many round trips to the moon?
Oh gosh.
1971. Round trips to the moon in terms of mileage.
I have no idea. I'm going to just random, I don't know, 25.
Now, that's a really good guess. 30 round trips to the moon.
Oh, wow.
Now, that's like a number that's kind of almost not even fathomable. To think how far that is and you know, the space program to get to the moon and back seems achievable. 30 round trips to the moon on the monorail. Holy cow.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. So, hopefully it wouldn't get stuck, like, you know, and there's still air conditioning in between air and the moon.
Big ladder, right? A big ladder.
Yes.
Retrieval bus. Okay. So let me give you the floor for a second. I am excited to beyond belief to talk to you because we've been friends on social media for a while, and this is the first time we've actually just chatted in real life. So I'm excited to have you on. Let me give you the floor. Please introduce yourself for everybody. Tell me what you do, and really what brought you to Disney in the first place.
Sure. So my name is Tamara Spidell, and I am an elementary school principal just outside of Denver in Colorado. And gosh, I think I've got Disney running through my DNA. I can't think of a time in my life when I wasn't a huge fan of Disney, whether it's the parks or movies or the characters. I was actually born in California and only spent the first 8 years of my life there. But of course, when you're there and you're that close to Disneyland, you know, we got to go an awful lot. I was super lucky. And that was just sort of a part of, you know, that's just what you did on the weekends. and then we moved away. And so whenever we had the chance, because we actually moved to the East Coast and we were closer to Disney World, we actually ended up going to Disney World an awful lot. My mom and my grandmother are also huge fans of Disney and Disney World. So we would take trips there quite a bit. And then as I, you know, became an adult and had a real job and found myself really busy, didn't get to go as much. And so we've just kind of gotten back into the swing of going to the parks about once a year, the last few years or so. And so I have a wonderful husband and a lovely daughter. And my daughter is just as obsessed with Disney as I am. My husband, not so much, but so he sort of tolerates it for us. That's kind of, it's just been a lifelong obsession, I guess.
That's awesome. And we were talking about that you and your daughter have a Disney fascination. Your husband...
Not so much.
Kind of goes along with the program, but not so much, right? So,
right.
There might be another show that comes out of this show just for that topic. So I might have to call you back on if you don't mind. So,
you bet.
and you know what? I didn't hear this. I know this, but Tamara, what do you do for a living?
I'm a principal in elementary school.
You're an elementary school principal. So you're an educator.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, you would be the top educator of the school as the principal.
Well, I don't know about that, but by title, maybe.
By title, okay. So I'm glad that you agreed to come on because I wanted to put a question to you, and I know you were up for it. I'm looking for the educational experiences inside the parks. So, you know, we talked for, you know, about a week and a half now, 2 weeks on this topic. So I was hoping you'd assemble a list, the top 5, 6, 7, 12 what educational experiences inside the parks, and I think you're more than up for the challenge. You want to fire some off for us?
You bet.
Okay.
So when I first started thinking about all of the educational experiences, because when I think of a lot of the things about Disney World, especially Epcot, of course, just sort of smacks you in the face as edutainment. I mean, there's just so many opportunities to learn while you're there. But then I kind of got sad because I was thinking about some of the things that used to be at Epcot that would have fit this topic perfectly, and some things that are currently there or were recently there and are going away or have gone away. But so I have a huge list, so I'll try to really funnel it down.
Let me pause you for 1 second to talk about what kind of a Disney dork I am. I'm just going to preach off your last statement. Over dinner tonight, we were literally watching a special on the Wonders of Life Pavilion. Now, what family in America is watching a special on the Wonders of Life Pavilion? But like,
only the best families.
Right? So we are literally watching a special on like the history and the opening ceremonies and the attractions that filled it. You could have done a show on just the Wonders of Life Pavilion and still had more topics. So, yeah, no
kidding.
It's a small world. We are a strange breed, that's for sure, part of the Disney community. So, I'm sorry. Back to you.
No problem. So I think my number one that sort of... So I, when you told me to kind of think of five things, I decided I would pick something from each of the four parks in Disney World and then sort of throw in an extra. So I'm going to start with my extra.
Okay.
So anytime that we take a trip out to Disney World, we give my daughter a gift card with her quote unquote spending or souvenir money. And so it's, you know, preloaded with a certain amount and she knows this is how much you have to spend. And then she has to keep track of the balance, you know, so she's got to keep her receipts and do the math to make sure that she knows how much she has and how much she has left to spend.
I love that idea. I love it. I can never really figure out a way. I should have thought about this. That's so simple and it's genius. You know, I have twins. I have 11-year-old twins. So it's like they're always like, oh, Dad, can I get that?
Exactly. Helps with that, too, because then once the money's gone, the money's gone.
So they have free reign. She has free reign to spend on whatever she wants, correct? As long as she stays within the budget and she knows it's going to impact her later on in her trip, right?
Exactly.
I love it. I'm going to steal it from you.
Go right ahead.
I'll give you credit, but I'm definitely going to steal it. That's awesome. If that's your extra, that's awesome. So,
thanks.
All right, let's go to number one. Let's go in order from let's save the best one for last. Does that work for you?
Okay. I really stink at ranking things, but
I'm sure they're all going to be great.
Well, I don't know about that, but okay. Okay, so I'll give you my second one, which is from the Magic Kingdom, and everybody's going to know exactly what I'm about to say, and that would be the Hall of Presidents.
It is a favorite of mine as well.
Yeah, it's a favorite of mine too. My husband likes to take a nap. It's a nice cool place and he can take a nap and then he's not so cranky. I just think it's, I mean, I think there's so many amazing things about that attraction. You know, obviously there's the historical aspect, but I also am amazed by the animatronics in that attraction and just the Imagineering that had to go into that to create such lifelike, moving, talking figures. It blows my mind.
You know what? I agree. My youngest chose to go with Mama and my older daughter to go see Anna and Elsa. And me and my son were obviously not going to wait for Anna and Elsa's meet and greet. So we walked over to the Hall of Presidents, and no matter what we talk about that entire trip, that's like one of the first two or three things you talk about was how cool the Hall of the Presidents were. And I probably have been inside the Hall of Presidents, I don't know, 20 times in my life, but that one particular moment, it like just caught us. Like that was the cool moment of the trip. So
a good bonding.
Agreed. And then, you know, just funny, we are non-political. I don't share my political views because, frankly, it's a firestorm on political views. But I saw a really cool post today that said, it doesn't matter who you're voting for, just realize you're picking the next character for the Hall of Presidents.
Awesome. I love that.
That is just awesome. So. Okay, cool. So that's number one. I'm making my notes. That was number two. I'm sorry. Okay. What's the next one?
Okay, so the next one, I don't know, maybe I should have done this one as two, because maybe this one isn't so great. Depending on, because obviously education comes in many different forms, you know, there's math and language arts and social studies and, you know, and then there's also the arts. And so the other one on my list, I guess number three, would be at Hollywood Studios and the Great Movie Ride.
Okay, so you have to explain that one, expand on that one. What is the educational value of the Great Movie Ride?
So I think just the from a historical aspect, but then also kind of seeing how film and storytelling evolved throughout the course of history, and seeing the different, you know, the different genres of movies and the different movie stars. I love the queue where, you know, they have a variety of different artifacts from different movies. I just think it's a really cool way for kids to see, or adults to see, some of those relics and artifacts from a time when maybe they weren't around or that they're not familiar with.
That's a great point, because, you know, I would like to say kids today, like I'm some old codger, but fact of the matter is we all are kind of self-centered on the moment that we live in, and we don't realize what kind of fabulous artistry and acting and movies have come out 50, 60, 70 years prior to our time, and they still, you know, to broaden our horizons as far as that goes. Yeah, I probably wouldn't have listed it, but once you talk about it, I completely get it and I completely see it. So,
well, good. I'm glad you see it, because I got to tell you, it was kind of a stretch for me.
No. I do. You know, especially with my kids. I don't know if my kids ever saw the movie Aliens, and I probably still haven't shown it to them because it's still a little intense. But
yes,
the first experience was like, holy cow, what is that?
Yeah.
So yeah, they would have never had seen that at that point in their life without the actual The Great Movie Ride. So thank you for the nightmares. Thank you for keeping me up at night. But
right.
No, thank you for broadening their horizons. So, so excellent. All right. Next
okay.
one.
So number, what are we on? Number four.
See, I knew I was smart for getting an expert on here.
I would say let's go to Animal Kingdom. And this one is, so at the conservation station, when you know, you take the train out there, and just, I mean, good grief, there are so many different experiences that you can have when you get to the destination there on that train. I think one of the coolest ones, if it's actually happening when you're visiting, is the opportunity to watch some veterinarian procedures or some surgeries on some of the animals.
Agreed. That's what they promote on the video, is like they actually have, oh man, I'm going to screw this up. It's like a wallaby or something strange on the table, and they're actually going through, and I don't know if they're giving it a dentistry or some kind of routine exam.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I remember seeing that as well too. That is pretty wild. They have did they still have the petting zoo there? I believe they do.
I think so. It's been a while. I will tell you, our last trip that we were there, the day that we had slated for Animal Kingdom, it poured so badly, and we were just so soaked that we didn't really get to see, we didn't make it all the way out there on that last trip, so I'm not sure if the petting zoo is still there.
Plus, you get to have the really cool train ride with the side sitting cars.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So that might be worth it all in itself. So.
Exactly.
Cool. I could appreciate that one. Yeah, that would, just by definition alone, that is a great educational experience. So,
and you know, and it could spark a love of, you know, medicine or science or anything like that. So,
and besides, who doesn't love petting a goat?
Well, exactly.
See,
as long as they're not chewing on your clothes.
Chewing on your clothes, exactly.
Yeah,
pushing you over. So, all right. So, you have two more for me.
I can do two more. Sure.
Excellent.
So, the rest of my list really, are in Epcot, and I think probably one of my favorites, and maybe at first people might not think of this as educational, but it's Test Track. And the specific part of Test Track I'm talking about is when you are, you know, kind of a part of the pre-show when you get to design your sim car, your vehicle, because you have to, now some people go into it, they want to design like the craziest looking car, but there's kind of like a science behind it. If you want to win, cause you know, there's a competition with all the other people in your actual ride vehicle, you're competing against each other to see whose car is the best. So you have to be mindful when you're creating your car, you know, what kind of an engine you're putting into it and what kind of lines your car has as far as whether it's going to be aerodynamic and all that. So I think Test Track is a really great one for that.
You know what? I love you. And about three shows back, I got into a discussion with Pete, and I made the statement that I thought Test Track might be one of the rides that holds true to not necessarily what the original Epcot idea was, but the original Epcot park. It holds true to those beliefs probably closest, because it definitely educates you, it informs you, it entertains you, it requires critical thinking skills, mm-hmm. and there's a really cool payoff at the end in the sense of a really cool ride. So yeah, it's not just about building the fastest car. It's you can build the most efficient car. You know, you got to judge the wheels right. You have to decide, you know, is this going to be a gas-guzzling monster, the top speed?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I completely see that. I made that point like three shows ago, and I think Pete was like, nah, nah, nah. But Pete
does not know what he's talking about.
You don't
about,
know what you're talking
I'm
about, Pete.
Pretty sure he is a car hater, because wasn't he the one that also was totally dogging on your idea of the car dealership, which I am in full support of?
Don't get me started. Tamara, you're the new co-host. Pete, you hear that? You're out. Laura, you're out. No, absolutely. No. But don't you agree? I mean, when you think about what the original purpose of Epcot Center was, it was to kind of create a place where you can educate as well as entertain. And I think Test Track, you know, I guess you really can't say more so than the Seas or even more so than University of Energy or Mission Space, but it really holds that idea close. You know, you definitely have to use critical thought. And then the payoff is the fastest ride in the Disney parks.
Absolutely.
65 miles an hour. So
yep.
That's the payoff. Cool.
I will say the other one that I was kind of, that was sort of neck and neck with Test Track and I took it off my list because it's not there anymore, is the Sum of All Thrills. Have you ever done that one?
You know what? I haven't because, well, frankly, it was just me and my twins, but they did, and we loved it so much that we kept the little card presented by Raytheon, and
yep.
It's sitting under a little laminate like table in our front room, so that we always like look at it. So
that's awesome. Yep, we have ours in a scrapbook.
Cool. Did you ever go back and look at it when you were completed?
I know, no.
Yeah, they gave us the website too. We never did as well too.
Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
You're not the only one. Yeah, but it's not there anymore. So that card's a collector, right?
Yes, that's true. That's true. I'm going to add it to my Disneyana collection.
All right. And then you have one more good one for us at the end?
I think so.
How many more do you really have? You probably have more than one.
Let's see. One, two, three, four.
Four?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go through them.
Okay.
We got some time. Let's go through them. Because okay. I'm thinking of a pretty obscure one all of a sudden, and I'll probably mention mine at the end.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, the rest of them are all in Epcot because, hello, Epcot. I mean, Epcot is all about education. So the other one on my list from Epcot would be The Land, and specifically, which I have not done this, but I've watched oodles of YouTube videos of people who have, is the Behind the Scenes tour.
Okay.
Have you ever done that or heard of it?
You know what? I haven't done it. I've heard of it because they don't have an age limit. So, like, we thought about possibly doing it with my four-year-old. And I know it's actually really affordable, too. It's not the $99 or $119
right.
tour. It's really pretty inexpensive as far as that goes.
Yes, yes. Relatively, in Disney terms, it
yeah,
is.
True.
Yeah. But, I mean, it looks like such a cool experience to learn, you know, a bit about agriculture and, you know, they have such, I mean, just going through the ride, you can see all the really cool, innovative ways that they're growing produce and, you know, sustainable fish and all of those things. So I think that's a good one.
Hashtag hydroponics, right?
Yeah, yes. We don't talk about that in Colorado.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Anyway, moving right along. So the other three on my list are also in Epcot. Obviously American Adventure. Oh my gosh, I love that attraction. It makes me cry every time.
do you listen to Golden Wings besides?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
It may or may not be a ringtone on my phone.
We're not going to admit it. Let me call you up right now.
Yes.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. I will admit too, when I'm at work and the day is a little slower, I will fire up the American Adventure, the complete like movie, just to listen to them.
Oh, that's cool. I have not done that.
Yeah, no, YouTube can be an awful thing, but YouTube's got a lot of really good stuff, and it usually falls under the Disney category as far as the good stuff goes. So, yeah, I've watched the entire thing probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 times since September.
Oh, wow. So, good for you.
Well, I try to make time every day to go and reconnect with what I really love. So.
Well, that's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah, and what's your favorite part of the entire pavilion? What is your favorite part?
Oh, gosh, that's tough.
Voices of Liberty, the flag hallway. What would be your best part?
Well, I mean, you start off with the Voices of Liberty. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't really go wrong. They're amazing. Mm-hmm. And just where they are right in that rotunda, I mean, it's like the best acoustics you could possibly imagine. You know, but again, I have to go back to the actual way that the stage in the, you know, the American Adventure attraction, mm-hmm. and how it's like, I don't even know how to describe it, but basically the sets kind of rotate up through, you know, I believe that building is just huge because of the way that the set pieces kind of come up from under the floor and then rotate back and go back down under the floor. I think that's so cool. I would love to take the,
behind the scenes tour.
Yes. Yeah. That would be amazing.
It would, you know what? I guess I didn't think about that. My favorite was simple, but you're exactly correct. To see how the Statue of Liberty torch comes up at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be really pretty cool. So I'm the guy that when you're standing on the escalator as you're walking through the hallway of flags, I'm the knucklehead that's taking pictures of every flag as he goes through and trying to get these wide panoramas causing mass disruption for everybody. But
oh, that was you?
That's me.
Oh, so Chris.
I take full credit for that. So. So, good one. The American Adventure, definitely. And if I was going to put together a list, that would be high on my list as well, too. So
yeah, that's a good one.
Cool.
And I would say the other one and I don't know why, maybe I should have had this one. This is like my favorite. Spaceship Earth is amazing.
The history of communication.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And, I mean, and who doesn't love how they do the whole smell-o-vision with Rome burning, and I mean, you could just as soon as you get close to that, you can smell it, and you know you're home. It's great.
Okay, so let me hit you with it. Walter Cronkite, Judi Dench, Jeremy Irons.
Oh, that's so hard.
They're so good.
They are.
On their own, they're all so very good.
They are. I think, I don't know, I love me some Dame Judi Dench, though. I mean, you know, just because of her connection with James Bond. I mean, she's pretty awesome.
She is pretty awesome. And she's still going strong in Hollywood right now.
Yes. Yes. She just got a tattoo. Did you see that?
I did. It was her first tattoo, right?
Yeah.
It was a birthday gift.
Yes.
So I did see that. God love her.
Yeah, she's awesome.
I think I listened to the Jeremy Irons version the most. So, but I don't think you can go wrong with either one of those. And the fact that we mentioned 3 random names and we instantly know what the connection is. That's awesome in its own, you know. So
Jeremy Irons kind of I love him, but you know, Scar is kind of the worst villain ever. I just can't get over that. I just can't separate it.
You can't separate the fact that he killed his brother?
Nope. I can't get over it. I know I need to move on. I just can't do it.
Gotta let it go. Okay. All right. You have a couple more for us?
I have one more, and this is one that I think there's a rumor out there that this one's going away, so I'm hoping we can go do it while we're there next week, because I think they might be converting this into a Guardians of the Galaxy attraction. So until that happens, Ellen's Energy Adventure, for sure, has to be on the list.
Completely agreed. I'm the only guy I know that actually has a University of Energy t-shirt, and I wear it proudly. So.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, you know what? Redbubble. That's where it's from.
Oh, yeah.
You got to go to Redbubble. My wife seems to surprise me every year, a couple times a year, with a unique t-shirt design. So when I walked on the ride, the workers stopped, and they stared at me, and I was treated like royalty for like the next like 15 minutes. Like,
that, were you alone on the ride, too?
No. No. My kids were there. They were like, "Dad, why are those girls looking at you?" I was like, "Don't worry." I was like, "I got the shirt on. Don't worry." So tell That's me, awesome. tell me why, because I'm a big fan of that ride myself.
Well, I am. So I love Ellen. She is
stupid Judy.
Yes, she's awesome. And so I think it's, well, I think it's hilarious to go and see Ellen from what, the 90s, and compare her to the Ellen of the 2000s. But I think the Bill Nye also, oh my gosh, he is our go-to on indoor recess days.
Yeah, every educational film ever made, right?
Exactly, starring
Bill Nye.
Exactly. So. He is the quintessential science nerd, but he makes science fun. And so I think just that whole, you know, the combination of all the different, you know, and then of course you got Jamie Lee Curtis in there. I mean,
yeah,
it's kind of a who's who of, well, I guess the 90s, but whatever. They were a great time. So anyway, but yeah, learning all about the, you know, about energy and, you know, getting to see the dinosaurs. I mean, it's just, it's awesome. But I'm worried it's going to go away soon.
All right, Tamara, what is the one source of power that will never run out?
Brain power,
yes. So the Bill Nye episodes for a while were on Netflix. So my son's 11 and a half years old, and he just discovered them. So it was so cute. You know, Bill Nye, you know, in my age, I'm 41, so of course I know who Bill Nye is. I grew up on Bill Nye.
Right.
So my son comes back to me and said, "Dad, the guy from Epcot's got a show on Netflix." That's how he relates to Bill Nye. But hey, I'll take it, right?
Absolutely. And I mean, what better place to spark that is, you know, oh, he's from Epcot.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing wrong with that.
All right. Let me throw one at you myself that I just thought of. And it's a favorite of mine. And there's never any wait for this ride. So I know people can think, oh, you can take the behind the steam tour and whatnot. I think a really cool educational experience is the Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse.
Oh my gosh, Chris, that one was totally going to be on my list. But I was like, no, he's going to make fun of me. I took it off.
No. I have vivid memories when I was in fourth, fifth, sixth grade. My mother, who is also a teacher, I come from a family of educators myself. I have a brother who is a principal. I have you know, another brother who works at the head office for Chicago Public Schools. So I come from a family. My wife's an educator. She's a seventh and eighth grade math teacher. My mom used to get me up early, and she used to have me read to her every morning. And so I would read Swiss Family Robinson. That was my favorite book. So to actually go and see what I was reading from literature and to see how they actually applied that and use it. Now, I know it took Imagineers to kind of create it, and the tree's not necessarily real, but...
What? Wait, what?
Yeah, exactly. To actually see how it works and how they created it and how it plays along with a great piece of literature, that's a really good educational experience. So that was just off the top of my head. I love it. And there's never any wait, but you will have to exercise, you know, be prepared for a hike when you go through that monster. That's for sure.
Absolutely. That's so funny. And I'm now really embarrassed on one sense because, so, I mean, I was thinking about it. I didn't even think about it from the literature aspect, which is a great point. I thought about it from a STEM aspect, which that's not the embarrassing part. The embarrassing part for me is that, so my daughter, before, let's see, a couple years ago before our trip, I was like, okay, we've got to watch this movie. And I sat her down and I made her watch the movie, Swiss Family Robinson. Mm-hmm. She couldn't even get through like a half an hour of it. She's like, Mom, seriously, are you going to really make me watch this? I'm like, no, but it's so great because then we're going to see the treehouse and you'll totally know the story. And she was not impressed. And actually, I can't even get her to go through the treehouse when we're, anytime that we're there, I always have to do it by myself.
No way. Really?
Yes. I don't know why she has such an aversion to it. Because I'm like, it's the coolest thing ever to go and see, like, you know, all the cool contraptions that they made with the pieces of their wrecked ship. And yeah, she's like, no, she's a thrill ride junkie. So she'd rather make her way to Big Thunder or Splash Mountain when we're over in that neck of the park.
Okay, I guess I could see it. I could see that too as well. But watch,
kids these days, jeez.
With her luck, she'll meet a boy, and the boy will be a big fan of the Swiss Family Robinson, and that'll be all over. She'll be all over that ride.
Like, yeah, right?
Right?
That's probably what it will take.
So I think we could literally go on and probably talk for an hour and come up with 20 more just off the top of our head. So,
oh, totally.
So here's the coolest part about that. So we just wanted to go for just 5 educational experiences inside the parks. But, I mean, realistically, I think we'd come up with 50. Couldn't you?
Oh, my gosh.
Don't you think so?
Easily.
So I think that's the point is, yeah, we love Disney for a lot of reasons. But when you're down there and you're enjoying yourself on vacation, you know, I know you're spending a lot of money and you're spending good quality time, but you're doing something else. You are educating everybody, adults and kids, when you're down there. And you don't even realize you're doing it. And that's the coolest part about it.
Exactly.
That's what makes education fun, is when you don't even know you're learning.
Well, and it's everything. My perspective is, you know, you get what you, you know, you get what you make of it. And so if you go into it with the mindset of, we're going to make this a learning experience, I mean, you just, you're surrounded and you're immersed in learning. So
awesome.
I'm all about making it about learning, because then it justifies all that money you're spending.
It does. It helps justify the money, right? So, or if your kids are missing school to go on vacation, you could say, well, we were kind of applying knowledge while we were down there. Right?
Exactly.
So, hey, before we go, I got 2 things for you. I want to let everyone know how they can contact you. And I've got to know, what is your cat's name?
Oh my gosh, can you hear her?
Oh, of course. Don't worry. I got 3 rescue dogs, so don't worry about that. I'm well aware of the animals walking through the house.
Yeah, she's out. She does not like to be on any other side of the door where her people are. So that's one of our cats. The one that you're hearing, her name is Luna.
Okay. Is it dinner time?
No, she just likes to, be where I am, and she can't because the door is closed, so she's throwing a little fit.
That's hysterical. So I'm well aware of those situations myself. So
yeah, all right. She's very vocal.
So if anyone wanted to contact you, how could they get a hold of you on Twitter, on Facebook?
Sure. So on Twitter, I am at WDWPhotog, as in photography. And on Facebook, I am Tamara Spidel. And those are pretty much the 2 places you can find me most.
Cool. So I'm going to make sure we get this show out in the next day or so. And you know what? Follow along with Tamara. She's going to have some really cool pictures on vacation. I know she's meeting up with a bunch of friends. We are friends from the Resort Loop podcast.
Yeah.
And I know you're going down there because I know Resort Loop Bob's going to be down there. You're going to have a big meetup with him. When is the dates of that meetup?
So Bob will be there on Tuesday and Wednesday of this coming week, which is the 25th and 26th of October.
Okay.
And I know he's kind of posted a little bit of his itinerary on the, I think that's on the Resort Loop Facebook page, but he's got some monorail crawls maybe happening on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday for sure there's a from 3 to 5 at Disney Springs over at Joffrey's Tea Traders. He is going to be interviewing
Chris.
Yes. Their master brewer over there. And so that's going to be really cool. I love tea and I'm excited to kind of learn more about that piece as well, but he'll be there from 3 to 5 on Wednesday. And he's planning on, you know, kind of spending his time outside of the parks so that anybody who wants to come stalk him can find him easily and doesn't have to pay a park ticket to get there.
Look for the gentleman with well-coiffed hair.
Yes, he does have great hair, doesn't he?
He has movie star hair.
So. And he thinks, you know, he thinks he's not going to be interesting and that nobody's going to care what he has to say or care to spend time with him. But I think he's going to be surprised. He's going to have a nice little entourage following him, I think.
Well, I heard Bob was buying everyone a free drink. Is that?
Oh, yeah. I heard that, too. Mm-hmm.
So if you see Resort Loop Bob, let him know that you heard it here on the Dubs podcast that he was buying everyone a free drink. So
yes, I think he's going to do that at Jock Lindsey's after the whole Tea Trader thing. So, you know, if you're in Disney Springs, make sure you stop by Jock Lindsey's and look for Bob.
You're welcome, Bob. Don't worry.
He's going to kill us.
Yeah, you're welcome, Bob. All right. So, Tamara, you know, I sure appreciate you spending a little time with us. So, us being me, because I'm so used to saying us. There is no us. It's just me today. So,
well, you know, I think Laura and Pete are there in spirit. So, okay. It's all good.
Cool. So,
thanks for inviting me on. It was great.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So, for everyone who listened today, we appreciate you listening. And we'd like to thank you. And if you can, go to iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen to the show. If you can give us a review, give us a rating, give us a 5-star rating. And, you know, we appreciate that. So for my friend Tamara, for myself, everyone, have a good evening.